On this Christ the King Sunday, our scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So during the scripture, I was not saying everybody on my right, you guys are good to go, and everybody on the left, sorry. That was just happened to be the hand motions there. Sorry about that. So I started a new book this last week, and I read a lot of books. And so in order for me to kind of keep my attention through books, I kind of constantly have to kind of rotate the type of books that I read. So I like to read a lot of biographies. I like to read a lot of fiction, and I like to read a lot of leadership and management books. But I can't read like any too much of any one thing. I kind of have to like rotate it all the time. And it gets kind of annoying as I kind of go through the iBooks library or my Kindle library and I look for a new book, because they say you're not supposed to do it, that you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover. But we do. I mean, we do it all the time. I mean, if you don't have a good cover, then nobody's really going to buy your book. And my wife's an author, and she hates that. I do that because she tells me I'm not supposed to do that all the time, but it's just sort of the way that it goes. If I don't like the look of it, I'm probably not going to buy it. But the problem is we kind of extend that to other areas of our lives as well. And it becomes an even bigger problem when we start doing it with people as well. Kind of judging people, sort of our first impressions, right? And we all do that. We sort of have this kind of internal compass that kind of spins. And when we run into somebody or when we meet somebody or we come into a room and somebody's talking, we kind of have this sort of subconscious kind of compass direction of like, hey, this person's all right. I will do well here. I think we'll get along well. And then there's others where it was like, I can't stand that person. And I've never even met them. Just seeing them and just kind of spending a minute in the same space as them, we just sort of all of a sudden kind of come to a first impression that that person, we're just not going to get along. The problem is, I think, even more so when we kind of roll with that, where we take that first impression and that becomes kind of like the party line of where we go. Because we have an opportunity that we miss out on that might be something that could change our lives or change somebody else's life as well. Has anybody ever had a friend that like kind of ended up defying their first impressions? Have you ever had a friend that maybe the first interaction that y'all had just did not like each other at all? I actually see a couple of husbands and wives looking at each other right now, so it's interesting to me. Yeah, we have these first impressions that we kind of shape with people, and sometimes they're people that we're close with, that the first interaction that we had probably is not always the best one, and yet, if we gave them a minute, if we got to know them a little bit, some people have ended up surprising us. So my best friend and I did not get started in the best of scenarios. It was the ninth grade. I had just moved to Huntsville. I was starting in a brand new church. I was starting in a brand new school. Didn't really know anybody or anything like that. School started. It was the first time that I had ever kind of been in a school system that had a lot of homework and had reading lists. I'd never had a summer reading list prior to kind of showing up at the school. I was going to Grissom High School in Huntsville. And it was only like a month before school started, and I had this summer reading list that I had to get through just all of a sudden. And the first week of class kind of started, and there was this kid I just couldn't stand. He kind of had a weird haircut. He kind of had this floppy kind of haircut that I just thought was dumb. He dated the girl that I wanted to date, so kind of big obstacle there. And he was way, way too enthusiastic about being an ROTC. I was like, slow down, dude. It's not the real army. Like, calm down. And then, as fate would have it, our worlds would collide. Some of y'all have experienced moments like this as well, when the teacher stands up and says, we're going to have group projects. And of course, he and I would be paired up as partners. And I'm trying to play it cool. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, they can put me with anybody. I'm trying to, like, you know, keep it cool. Like, I'm still new. I'm trying to, you know, create a good persona, right? And I kind of steal a glance to the other side of the room, and he's talking with one of his other friends, and I could tell he's frustrated. I can tell he's disappointed. And I see him kind of mouth to his friend. He was like, he probably didn't even read the book. And I got mad. I mean, who is he kind of making a judgment call about me? But I couldn't stay too mad because I, in fact, not read the book. So, I mean, he's kind of got me there, right? And we talked for a minute kind of at the end of class about getting together. We'd talk on the phone. Maybe we'd hang out at church at some time and kind of put this project together, and we'd work on it. And we made plans for the future. We had about 2 weeks to kind of work on this project, right? But as fate would have it, we did nothing. Never called each other on the phone, never got together after church. And it got to be the week that we were going to have to present. And he and I were at youth group that Sunday night before school that week. And we closed out every youth group night kind of with this prayer circle at the end where people could make prayer requests. And the youth pastor asked, is there any prayer requests that anybody would like to have this week? And my friend, he stuck up his hand. And he said, I would like prayers for me and Arthur. So we have a big project that's due this week. It's about 25% of our grade. It's got to be about a 25-minute oral presentation. And so everybody kind of nodded along, and everybody kind of looked over to me to see if I'd kind of add anything on top of this prayer request. And I kind of was nodding in a real reverent manner. And then I was like, it's got to be how long? It's how much of our grade? And my friend was kind of sitting on the other side of the prayer circle, kind of like staring daggers, like shooting laser beams through my soul. He was so angry. And he was like, did you not even read the instructions? And I was like, yeah, of course I read the instructions, right? When I, in fact, not read anything about the instructions and didn't realize that this project that I had really pretty much just kind of brushed off really counted for a quarter of my grade and had to be 20 minutes long at the time. That's the first time that I learned how to wing something for about 20 minutes. So if you hear any sermons that seemed kind of in that lane, that's kind of the start of it all, right? And you could just feel kind of his anger coming from the other side of this prayer circle. And he kind of whipped his head back over to the youth pastor and stuck his hand back up and was like, I think I'm going to need some extra prayers this week. And that was the start of a beautiful friendship. We ended up getting together after youth group that day and kind of working on our project together and coming up with a good plan. And I love kind of getting up in front of people and talking, so it was fine. It all worked out. And we had to do this presentation on Fahrenheit 451. And I went home and I read the book that night because I still hadn't told them I hadn't read it yet. And we ended up having a great presentation. But that one relationship, no matter the rocky start that we got, we ended up kind of starting to bump into each other just a little bit more and having a couple more conversations. Like I said, we were in the same youth group together, so we started going to a lot of the same concerts. We started going to a lot of the same mission trips, and we ended up becoming pretty close friends. And as the years went on, we ended up kind of relying on each other when we were going through these different times of our lives. We started kind of going through them together, and it ended up being the one person that I could talk to and the one person that he could talk to when we were going through these circumstances that we never thought we'd get through on our own. And we ended up becoming best of friends over this time. Even going through different colleges, even living in different parts of the country. He lives up in Nashville today. We still called each other last week, and we still get on the phone, and we still talk about people that annoy us and frustrate us. And we sort of like vent our first impressions to each other now before kind of going out. Sometimes people have a way of surprising us when we give them more than just a passing glance. Then when we kind of choose to take our first impressions of somebody and put them to the test, or even just put them to the side and give somebody really a chance to have a role in our lives and for us to walk alongside them in their lives as well. The scripture that we read this morning is such an incredible scripture. I was talking to Preston, our youth pastor, this last week about the scripture, and I was telling him it's one of my favorite scriptures, and he was telling me, man, it was like one of his least favorite scriptures, because there's so much that's going on. There's so much imagery. There's so many metaphors and symbolism that's going on, and what in the world do you do to kind of unpack all of this? But I think what's incredible is when we really think about the type of kingdom that Jesus is talking about in this scripture. So on Christ the King Sunday, on this Sunday to where we say that this world has no distraction or victory over us that can even come close to knocking Jesus off of the throne of being Lord of all creation, that no matter what disappointment or frustration that we have, that the truth in the gospel is that God is still going to be king at the end of the day, is an incredible, incredible truth. But that kingdom is so different than anything we've ever thought about or anything that we've ever anticipated. Even so much that as Jesus starts to unpack it in the scripture, he surprises the people that he's talking to. So he's starting to unload sort of this judgment. You kind of get this image of kind of Jesus having all of creation kind of come towards him, and he's sort of sorting them out to the right and the left. It says, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And each crowd, he's holding to the very same standard. And what's even more surprising is it's a standard that neither group knew that they were being held to. It's so surprising and so elusive, and it's so hidden. And Jesus begins to kind of separate the crowd based on how those people acted and treated him when they met him in this life. And each group, the sheep and the goats, those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous, both answered the same way. When, O Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, naked or a stranger or sick or in prison? And Jesus answered each one of them that when you did any of that or did not do any of that to help those who were the least of them, you did it also, or did not do it, to me. It's an incredible standard that he begins to divide them to, because neither one knew that Jesus was involved in this at all, or knew that he was even around. And so I think about those who are separated on the left side, those who did not help others. What were they looking for, or what were they expecting? And I wonder if they passed Jesus so many times because he looked so much different than what they expected. And the kingdom that they were working for seemed so much different than the kingdom that Jesus was actually building. Because the kingdom that Jesus is building is shockingly different from anything else in this world. The kingdom that the world tries to sell us is that we should be happy, that this grace, this hope, this love, this joy that we preach about in the scriptures, that you should have that and that you should feel it right here today. And that when you go forth, your life will be wonderful, it'll be easy, there'll be no problems, that everything is worked out. But the truth is Jesus says, yes, that's a promise of my word, and that's the character of who I am. But you will know it and you will feel it when you give that away to others. You can't just keep it for yourselves. Jesus' kingdom is the only kingdom in all of creation that is built upon the promise to give it all away. That Jesus doesn't sit on his throne till the end, but while he's here, he's clothed and he looks just like the people we have walked past, just like the people we have ignored, just like the people who are too inconvenient or too expensive to spend more time with. He looks like all those people that we have passed by. And how much more difficult of a kingdom is that? It's so incredibly hard. Because out of all the symbols and all the metaphors that we can find in the scripture, the one thing that I do not believe is symbolic at all, that I don't believe is metaphorical, that I believe is the gospel truth, is that Jesus is here with us today. That when we leave and go forth and we're walking about through the week, that you and I, we will run into Jesus this week. We will physically see Jesus. And we will not recognize him. And we will not know him. And what's strange is that's exactly how Jesus wants it. That's exactly how Jesus has set up this kingdom. That it's not about doing things because we realize who we're doing them for, but doing them because everything that this kingdom has given us in this life, this hope, this joy, this grace, this generosity is poured out for us that we can give it away to each and every person we meet, whether we think that person is Jesus or not, whether we've stopped on our first impression or whether we've given that person our entire heart, but that we pour ourselves out even for those in this life who can offer us absolutely nothing. Because this is a kingdom that is unlike anything else in this world. That where every headline or every bit of evidence in this world says that belief is naive and unnecessary and the world is falling apart, this is still the kingdom that demands that we believe in something that is bigger than ourselves. And that we truly have a role in playing and turning this world around and building a brand new kingdom. The very kingdom of God. In the season of Advent, this is the last Sunday of the year before Advent, the last Sunday of the Christian year. And I think, how incredible is it that as we move into a season of Advent where we're anticipating the arrival of Jesus on Christmas, we're preparing with this expectation that's building in, this joy and this peace that's building up until Jesus arrives at Christmas, that we end the Christian year with a scripture and a truth saying that Jesus has been here all along. That he has been in the stores that we shop at, the sidewalks that we walk down, the traffic that we get stuck in, that he is in each and every place that we have found ourselves. And we have missed him every time. Because we keep looking for him. When he says, "You're not going to recognize me, but you're going to see me and those that need my kingdom the most." And if we can give it away to them, and if we can be there for them, that is the only standard that I am holding us to, in which I separate the left from the right, the sheep from the goats, those who see my kingdom from those who have missed it. I am so glad that we don't run our life entirely off first impressions. Because there are first impressions that have turned out completely wrong. That thank God somebody else gave us a chance. So one of my jobs when I was in college was I was a cashier at PetSmart. And I had been there a good long while. I was in charge of all the deposits like at the end of the night. And so I would kind of come in on my off days and I would kind of help do the finances. And sometimes I would bring my dog with me, and I would kind of drop her off in the grooming salon after they were closed so they could kind of clip her nails and, you know, kind of make her getting looking nice while I'm kind of finishing up some work. And one afternoon, I kind of came into the grooming salon, and they had a new employee that was working there. And I kind of brought my dog in, and I was like, "Hey, can y'all kind of clip her nails and kind of give her a bath real quick while I'm kind of getting some work done?" And this lady was like, "Sir, we are closed." And I was like, do you know who I am? I am a PetSmart cashier. I was like, I work right outside this window. I was like, I bring my dog in all the time when y'all are closed. And that's when one of the other groomers kind of stepped in and was like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's okay. This is Arthur. He comes in here all the time. We take care of his dog. And I was like, that's right. You take care of my dog. And they were like, I'll take care of it. I'll clip her nails, give her a bath and everything, have her ready for you. I was like, I appreciate that. And this new employee kind of turned around and walked to the back room. And that was my wife and I's first time that we ever met each other. She thought I was probably the biggest jerk, the biggest tool or loser that she'd ever met in her life. But thank God she gave me another chance. I like to think that she saw me working out on my cash register through the window, and love just blossomed in her heart, and she just fell in love from that moment on. But the truth of the matter is every time when I've thought about the stories of people that I've given a second chance to, that I kind of took a moment to sort of cast aside my first impressions and give them another chance, that the real truth of the matter is that they were the ones that took a chance on me. My best friend that I almost kind of sabotaged or bombed his grade in the ninth grade, it wasn't me who took a chance on him. It was him who decided to put his grade on the line for a kid that obviously didn't care about his. And from that chance, we ended up having one of the best friendships of anybody I've ever counted in this life. We ended up being the best men at each other's wedding. We still call each other all this day. We kind of follow each other on everything that our kids are doing. We kind of call each other up and complain to each other all the time. And we're probably the best friends that I've ever had in this life. But the truth of the matter is, if somebody has taken chances on us, who are we then to pass up on chances and relationships with others? You will run into Jesus this week, and never judge a king by his clothes. Because if you're looking for somebody in robes and crowns, you're not going to find him. He's going to be the one who's a little bit dirtier than you like. The one who sounds a little bit different. The one who looks a little bit different. And it's going to be one who needs the very kingdom of God. And Jesus is already going to be there working on it. Are we going to be the ones that show up? As the band starts to come forward, we have an opportunity to kind of close out the end of this Christian year and dedicate to say, how are we going to approach the year moving into Advent? With an expectation of everything that God has to pour out for us, this anticipation of Jesus coming into this world, and knowing that Jesus has already come, and he is wondering if we will join him as well. If during this last song you'd like to come up to pray, if God is doing something on your heart and you desire to come work it out, then this altar right here is open for you. You can come kneel in front of the stage and pray. I'd love to come pray for you. We have an opportunity to decide how we are going to act and how we are going to be led to go forth to build the real kingdom, the kingdom that stands everything else upon its head and reaches out the very kingdom of God. Will you stand and will you pray with me as we prepare to close out today? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks for the way that your Spirit is poured out upon all of us. Lord, the way that you call us to be better than the way that we have been, to notice things that we have walked past and ignored, to call us to be the very hands and testimony of this kingdom that you need in this life. Because, Lord, there are those that took chances on us. There are those who noticed us, who lifted us up when we needed it the most. How dare we ever think that we cannot do that for others? Lord, allow us to feel your kingdom. Allow us to see those who are hungry and thirsty. Lord, those who are strangers, those who are naked or sick or in prison, and allow us to be those who welcome them, who feed them, Lord, who visit them. Allow us to be them, the very kingdom of God, as we build this together. In Jesus' name, amen.